For nearly two decades, Washington has been on the forefront of accusing sovereign countries of various misdeeds. Today, U.S. military virtually holds a near omnipotent presence around the world, with bases and installations in the states it has declared rogue. Taking a step back and viewing this massive body of quote-unquote coincidences that clearly favor American military establishment, one can surmise U.S. foreign policy as the colloquial, the one who smelt it, dealt it. But it isn't only guns and bullets that U.S. State Department is so happy to dispose of under the friendly auspices of sharing its democracy, which is somewhat flawed given this year's presidential candidates, if you ask me. I'm Nick Blake, and today we talk cyber attacks.
Ah, oh, blame the Russians.
Oh. Okay, name some evil people that you don't know.
I just love how everyone always blames the Russians.
Yeah, well, it's convenient.
Yeah.
It's
well, you've been accustomed to it in TV and movies for the last few decades, haven't
well,
you?
Well, when we were kids.
Yeah.
The real thing was when I was a kid and I was in high school, it was always we're worried about the Russians nuking us. We're worried about, you know, we'd heard about the Cuban Missile Crisis and the standoff, and everybody's always terrified that one day there was always the stories that, you know, there was one time where we almost went to war with Russia. There was almost a mistake, and they thought missiles were in the air, and they almost sent missiles of their own, mutually assured destruction.
That actually happened quite a few times.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a gigantic fear in America.
But also you guys in movies. The bad guy was always Russian.
Sure.
Or yeah. Eastern European in some description.
It's ironic, really, because it went away for a little while, you know, and now it's back.
That was Joe Rogan of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast discussing a brief history of anti-Russian hysteria in the United States with Adam Krupp. It seems that blaming Moscow is the go-to instrument of the toolbox when everything else fails. And boy, did everything fail. Earlier this year, WikiLeaks released a collection of emails from the Democratic National Committee, DNC, the body in charge of appointing the official nominee for presidency from the Democratic Party. Hillary Clinton and the plethora of her supporters that include mainstream media outlets, Wall Street financiers, and other influential entities has almost literally jumped to the conclusion that it was Russian hackers. Now, the motivation of these unnamed, untraced, and therefore non-existent hackers was allegedly grounded in disrupting Hillary Clinton's campaign in favor of Donald Trump. The fact that a hacker calling himself Guccifer 2.0 had taken responsibility for the breach has, for the most part, drowned in the sea of blame the Russians campaign, as opposed to investigating who this hacker actually is. In essence, this tells us that does it really matter who was behind this information dump? The whistleblowing website WikiLeaks has been the original publisher of Clinton's and her associates' emails. This organization is known to support a just cause in lifting the veil of behind the scenes of international politics, all the while maintaining a neutral political stance. The notion to blatantly accuse without providing any evidence is in direct conflict with the very core principles of the United States, namely the presumption of innocence. A number of experts, along with the Russian president himself, have suggested that this deliberate and concerted effort to discredit the Russian government and its actions has an objective that is far more sinister for the American people themselves. The primary goal lies in distracting the American public away from the actual content of what was revealed. We linked up with a retired CIA analyst, himself whistleblower and political activist, Ray McGovern, to shine some light on this issue.
Bill Binney, who quit NSA after becoming the technical director of NSA, told me these are trumped-up charges because if we had the evidence on Russia's interference with our electoral process, there is a trace capability that we would use to prove it. In other words, there are ways that NSA has, that any commercial industry has, to trace the route of these emails. And no evidence of that kind has been adduced, and there is no way to separate out the possibility that all kinds of other people would have had access to the DNC and to Hillary Clinton's emails. Julian Assange isn't hacking in, or the Russians aren't hacking in to DNC or Hillary Clinton emails. Someone within NSA, someone like Ed Snowden, okay, is giving this information to Julian Assange. He's poring over it assiduously, as he usually does, and he is not changing a word. And so what started out now as a huge diversion of attention right before the Democratic National Committee, a huge diversion of attention away from the content of these emails, namely Hillary Clinton stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders, they decided to blame Russia. How could they do that?
That was Ray McGovern illuminating us on one of the main reasons anti-Russian hysteria is so rampant in current media. Most of the American public is simply kept in the dark by vast privately held conglomerates that deliver the majority of the news. These corporations are naturally predisposed to support the line of their favorite candidate, namely Hillary Clinton. Just like they did away with Bernie Sanders at the DNC, most U.S. citizens will never know what went on in the backdrop. To bring this point closer to reality, here's the legendary American comedian, George Carlin.
You know those people on the Jerry Springer show? Those are the average Americans. Oh, yeah, believe me, below average can't get on the show. Can't get on. Below average are sitting home watching that TV, getting ready to go out and vote, filling out their sample ballot. People are f***ing dumb. You can say what you want about this country, and I love this place. I love the freedoms we used to have. I love it. I love that. You know? I love it when it didn't take a fucking catastrophe to get us to care for one another. I love the fact that we're on camera all the time from all angles. But you know what? You can say what you want about America. And I say, I love this place. I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't live in any other time in history in any other place. But say what you want about America, land of the free, home of the brave. We got some dumb motherfuckers floating around this country. Dumb motherfuckers, you know? Yeah. Now, obviously, that doesn't include this audience. I understand that. You seem intelligent and perceptive, but the rest of them, holy jumping fucking shitballs. It just seems to me, that only a really low IQ population could have taken this beautiful continent, this magnificent American landscape that we inherited. Well, actually, we stole it from the Mexicans and the Indians, but hey, it was nice when we stole it. Only a nation of unenlightened half-wits could have taken this beautiful place and turned it into what it is today, a shopping mall. A big f***ing shopping mall.
That was George Carlin explaining why he thinks the public is somewhat unfit to think on its own. Following months of accusations and yet still no proof of Russian involvement, coupled with devastating breaches of diplomacy in Syria and elsewhere, the United States did what it does best, resort to threats. And this is a completely different ballgame. U.S. officials such as Morrell and other CIA operatives have on a number of occasions declared physical harm to Russians as a viable solution. However, nobody could have expected that the Vice President of the United States himself, Joe Biden, would resort to such tactics. During NBC's Meet the Press, Biden promised that Washington would exact revenge against Moscow for its alleged interference in the upcoming U.S. elections, quote, at the time of our choosing and under the circumstances that will have the greatest impact. In my humblest of opinions, this sounds like yet another attempt at the Hegelian dialectic, where one creates, molds, and fabricates a scenario resonating vividly enough to produce a public reaction. This reaction is then controlled by the media to deliver a solution, often packaged as for the benefit of the nation, leading to a response by the group that started this entire thing to begin with. And here's how the Irish comedian Dylan Moran views this approach of the United States.
I think the reason that happened, all that bad feeling about America, is apart from everything that they've done. The American style is totally different, far more insidious. This empire is run on a totally different basis. What America does is it has a nosy in some place, some war-torn f***ed up place, and that looks for oil or chocolate or whatever it wants. And all the indigenous people obviously get pissed off, and they begin to meet, they begin to foment. They ring each other up and say, you, Habuwa, let's meet and foment at 6 o'clock in the local bombed-out cafe. They gather round and they say, what are we going... I'm doing a pan-global accent, okay? It saves time, because America gets around a lot of places. What are we... And this represents poverty. Hey, listen. Hey. Habuwa, listen. What are we going to do about the f***ing imperialistic Yankee big dog, huh? What are we going to do? They come in here, they fucking, they look around, they take our stuff. What are we gonna, I'm talking to you, put down the beans. Listen, what are we gonna do? And then what America does, while these people are talking, it very, very gradually builds a Starbucks around them. And then they all be, become addicted to latte and they lose the will to rebel. And then they turn into Americans.
That was Dylan Moran sharing his views on American foreign policy. Is this anti-Russian hysteria going away after the elections in a couple of weeks, or is it here for good? Are we about to see greater conflicts erupt as a result of lagging to fix this one? Let's wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Let's wait and see. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.